This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
All right, it is 10 o'clock, and we are going to call the first meeting of this session, the House Local Governments, to order. I'd like to welcome everybody today and anybody on the Internet. Glad you're out there listening to us. Reminder to turn your cell phones off or have them on vibrate. If they do go off in the committee, there will be a penalty of your choice of either jerky to the committee or a check written to the pheasant habitat. So I'll give you an option with that, but I will hold you to it either way. And at this time, I'll ask the secretary to call the roll.
Representative Barthel.
Here.
Chafee.
Here.
Schwach.
Here.
Freimuller.
Here.
Greenfield.
Here.
Hammack.
Here.
Mullally.
Here.
Overwig.
Here.
Reed.
Here.
Reimer.
Here.
Sullivan. York.
Here.
Otten.
Here.
Madam Chairman, Mr. Chairman. Sorry about that. We do have a quorum.
We do have a quorum. All right. We do not have any minutes as this is our first meeting of the year. Remind all of our testifiers to sign in back there. And if you're a lobbyist, make sure you have your badge on. It is visible. If we have any handouts, let's utilize the pages for that to distribute them, please. And at this time, I'd like to have the pages come up and introduce themselves and just say a quick word in no particular order.
Hi, I'm Katie Natvig. I'm a senior here in Pierre, and I plan on going to South Dakota State University to major in business, and then the University of South Dakota for law school.
Both state schools. Two of them.
Hi, I'm Ryder Bortenson. I'm from Winter, South Dakota, currently a senior, and I plan on attending South Dakota State University to major in agricultural business and business economics.
Very good. And then we have our interns in here, so I'd like to have them come up and say something.
Good morning, representatives. My name's Frank Fitzgibbons, and I'm studying at the University of South Dakota. Yep. And I'm majoring in political science and planning to go to law school. So.
And he happens to also be my intern.
My name is Avery Scott. I go to school at Nebraska Wesleyan. I'm from Sioux Falls, but now I go to school in Nebraska. So you can hold that against me.
Very good. All right. Time for any introductions or anything. Does anybody have anybody they want to introduce out here? Yep, I'll give you a minute or two. Representative Freimuller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My husband, Mike Mueller, has joined me today. We were married 36 years this last November, and I wanted him to come and hang out with me because I missed him. And he's an engineer, so there's a lot of things that he's very familiar with, and construction and all those kinds of things. And he works for now Monument Health. He's a construction manager for them, and he's my best friend. So thanks.
Very nice. Glad to have you here today. And then just want to make a little announcement about, is there any announcements down here, introductions? I don't want to skip that side of the room. With the committee, we've had a little bit of change from last year. Representative Lake is no longer on the committee. He has moved over to the Senate. And we now have Representative Overwig, who has taken his spot, who is appointed to his position. So you want to say who you are and what district you represent and just give you 5 seconds or so?
Okay, I am Marty Overwig, and I represent District 19. And I don't know. That's a pretty 5-second introduction, but here I am. I'm ready to learn. So
that's perfect. Thank you. All right. So at this time, we're going to get into our bill hearings. We do have 3 bills on the dock today, and we're going to start with House Bill 1049. And do we have any proponent testimony on 1049? And the 1049 is to establish a minimum on the number of words contained in a statement of a proponent or opponent for the ballot question pamphlet.
Good morning, Mr. Chair.
Good morning, Mr. Secretary.
My name is Steve Barnett. I'm the Secretary of State for South Dakota. This is Kia Warren. She is the supervisor in our elections division. So what House Bill, we're testifying as proponents here for House Bill 1049. It's a pretty simple bill. Basically, what we want to do is amend lines 12 and 13 by adding the following language. No statement written by a proponent or opponent may exceed 300 words in length. The background of this, it's really been a policy of the Secretary of State's office for over 20 years to restrict the length of a proponent or opponent statement. This just codifies it. Our office uses one full page for each ballot question that will be on the ballot, and this allows us to fit all the required information required by law. The Attorney General's title, the explanation, the recitation of the effect of a yes or no vote, the number of pages and sections in the ballot question, and if applicable, a fiscal note as well. This, of course, we leave enough space for the proponent and opponent statements too. So at this point, we'd entertain any questions that you might have for us.
I'll have to finish taking proponent testimony. Yep. Do we have any other proponent testimony?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. My name is Kia Warren. I'm the director for the Division of Elections in the Secretary of State's office. I just brought a copy of what the ballot question pamphlet looked like in 2018, and I can have the page pass it around. It fits, each measure fits perfectly on one page, and so we try and keep it to 300 words for the proponent and opponent. And we just kind of wanted to get that into statute. We did have a proponent or opponent writer in 2018 ask what statute requires the 300. And so since it was just policy, we thought we should just put that in statute. Thank you.
Hey, do we have any other proponent testimony in the audience? Any other proponent testimony? Seeing none, I'll move on to opponent testimony. Do we have any opponent testimony? Any opponent testimony on House Bill 1049? Seeing none, I'll waive the rebuttal period and move into committee questions. Do we have any questions from the committee? Representative Chafee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could you, in the spot where all that text takes place, are you allowed to put in like a web link or like a QR reader or something if they wanted more information they could click on and find?
Mr. Chair, yes, they can put their website address in there. Some of them will put their phone number if they want to direct questions to the writer wants them to direct them to them. We also see where there's sometimes a number of people that are helping write one statement, and that's fine too. And that doesn't count towards the 300 limit.
Representative Mulally.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question, you said this was in policy, and you had been doing this for many years of it. You limiting it to 300. Was it a written policy, or was it just?
Mr. Chair, it was just policy from the Secretary of State's office through the, even under Secretary Hazeltine, we were limiting them to 300 words, just so that it can fit on one page, so that when we print it, we have to print this and provide copies to all the county auditors, public citizens, just to kind of keep the cost down. So it's one, so it fits on one page exactly.
Follow up, please. I agree with that. I was just wondering if it was written in policy that you could show. You said you had someone asking where it shows it in codified law. It would not be in policy that where they would that would sanctify the fact that you were only using. So you are trying to require it to be in codified law so that they know exactly this is your limit.
Mr. Chair, yeah, that's correct. Yes, that's correct.
Representative Hammack.
Has there been any complaints in the past about your limitations from anyone that you're aware of?
Not that I can recall over the time I've been here in that office. Just the question that came up last year kind of triggered us that we think we should put it in statute.
Thank you.
Representative York, did you have a question?
Just a point of clarification. Did you say the 300 words is all inclusive? That's explanation, and anything they've got to say has to be done in the 300 words.
Mr. Chair? Yes, that's correct.
Representative Schwach.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to focus on, I guess, the sentence right above it where it talks about proponents and opponents in the plural sense. Is there an issue, too, with how many proponents or opponents are allowed to be within the pamphlet?
Mr. Chairman, yes, there can only be one opponent writer and one proponent for each ballot question.
May I have a follow-up, Mr. Chair?
Yep.
Is that in statute? Because as I look at this, it anticipates with the use of the plural that there are multiple proponents and opponents potentially out there. And then I guess a follow-up, how do you select if there are multiple?
Mr. Chair, because there could be a group of people that are helping write the opponent statement or a group of people that are writing the proponent statement. So that's why that's plural, because they can have multiple writers listed in that. Because we list the person who wrote the letter or the statement and any other information like their website, telephone number. And so you may see in past ones where there's multiple people listed on there. And what we do is we go to the sponsor of the bill first, or the sponsor of the ballot question, if that's how it's getting placed on the ballot, to let them have first choice to write the proponent. And if they want to pass it on to someone else, that's how we find the proponent. We usually listen to opponent testimony. We go back and look at the last session, that if it's being put directly on the ballot. We'll go listen to opponent testimony and try and see if anyone that opposed that would want to be one of the writers for the opponent statement.
Any further questions from the committee? Seeing Representative Schwach.
I guess, you know, I think just in this line of questioning of multiple kind of issues that are, because this is kind of a vague statute, arguably there's a lot of wiggle room that I think people pointed out. Would it be more appropriate for all of these issues to be addressed maybe in some type of rulemaking process through the State Board of Elections?
Mr. Chairman, we could certainly do that. That the State Board of Elections does have authority to write processes for election-related legislation.
Okay. Any further questions? If not, I'm going to close the public testimony portion of this, move into committee action. Do we have any action or discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Reed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move do pass.
Second came from Representative Primeur. All right, I have a first from Representative Reed and second from Representative Freimuller as a due pass. Any discussion on that motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is what has been happening. I think there was a good question about whether or not this should be through the Board of Elections, but I think this 300-word limit is a good thing for the legislature to decide. I don't know if that's necessarily good for the Board of Elections, so I think it's something that should be codified by the legislature, so I support it.
Any further discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all right, restate the motion. We have a first from Representative Reed, a second from Representative Freimuller with a due pass motion on House Bill 1049. I will have the Secretary call the vote.
Representative Barthel.
Aye.
Chafee.
Aye.
Schwach.
Aye.
Freimuller.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hammack.
Aye.
Mullally.
Aye.
Overwig.
Aye.
Reed.
Aye.
Reimer. Sullivan.
Aye.
York.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Yes. Yes, there were 13 yay votes.
All right. House Bill 1049 with affirmative vote of 13-0 with the due pass motion will go to the floor. We've had a little change with how the consent calendar works through the House rules, so I have the ability to to say that this qualifies for consent, and then if somebody on the committee so chooses to say no, then those particular bills would not go on the consent calendar, and then we'll go to the floor. So I'm going to test this theory out right now and say House Bill 1049 by a vote of 13-0 will go on the consent calendar unless someone says no. 1049 is on the consent. Representative Barthel.
So just a clarification on that. So does that hold true going forward? The only way they can get on consent is through the chair, a motion by the chair to begin with?
That's a good question. As this is a new rule change, I would assume that yes, that would be the process, representative, because if the chair, I'm assuming, wouldn't want that bill to be on consent, he would just say no, and then it wouldn't be on consent. So the chair will offer up the option to the committee for it to be on consent unless there is a dissenting member.
Okay, thanks.
Now, I'm under the impression that once these bills get to the floor yet, they can still be pulled off the consent calendar by any member before a hearing. So that option is still out there yet if some other member doesn't want it or somebody up here has a change of mind. So that process will not change. Any further questions with that? Because this is a new change, so. Okay. So with that, we will move into our second bill on the docket, House Bill 1052. An act to change reference from a secondary election to a runoff election to maintain consistency in terms. Do we have any proponent testimony? There they are.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Steve Barnett, Secretary of State. We would rise in proponents to this bill, House Bill 1052. This is a cleanup bill to change the term secondary to be listed as runoff. And that change is made in Section 1, Line 20 of this legislation. So it would read, for any runoff election under 12-6-51.1, one notice shall be published along with a copy of the ballot in each newspaper, as opposed to secondary.
Very good. Do we have any other proponent testimony? Do we have any other proponent testimony in House Bill 1052? If not, do we have any opponent testimony to House Bill 1052? Any opponent testimony? Seeing none, no need for rebuttal, and I will move into committee questions. Do we have any questions from the committee? Seeing none, I will close the pub. Representative Freimuller, or Mulally, I'm sorry. Going to have to be a little quicker next time.
That's right. The statement in this bill is to clarify elections for consistency in terms. Where is this term used elsewhere from secondary to runoff? So I can research that.
The term secondary, we replaced that. I think in the 2018 election, we did a cleanup, but we missed this one. You'll see runoff elections in city and city elections as well. And so we just wanted to make sure that we're using the same term throughout the code.
Any further committee questions? Representative Chafee.
To please the chairman, I'd like to make a motion.
You may.
I make a motion that we do pass House Bill 1052.
Second. All right. I have a motion by Representative Chafee and a second by Representative Hammack with the do pass. Since we didn't quite clear questions, I'll allow questions and or discussion on the motion. Representative Chafee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the face value, the bill looks like it's pretty much as straightforward and simple as we could ever hope for in a bill.
Agreed. Any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none. All right. We have a first by Representative Chafee, a second by Representative Hammack with a due pass on House Bill 1052. 52 and see no further discussion. I'll have the secretary call the roll.
Representative Barthel.
Aye.
Chafee.
Aye.
Schwach.
Aye.
Frymuller.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hammack.
Aye.
Mullally.
Aye.
Overweg.
Aye.
Reed.
Aye.
Reimer.
Aye.
Sullivan.
Aye.
York.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
We have 13 yea.
So House Bill 1052 will hit the floor with the due pass motion with an affirmative vote of 13-0. And this also qualifies for the consent calendar unless someone dissents. It will go on the consent. All right. Our third and final bill for the morning is House Bill 1055, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the termination of a political committee under certain circumstances. Do we have any proponent testimony? And I am aware the committee, you know, we have a new amendment process here. I don't know if it's quite perfected yet as we deal with the different departments. So Secretary of State's office does have an amendment on this, and I'm just going to ask them to hand that out now so we have that, and that way I can have you provide testimony on the bill and the amendment at the same time. But we will need to take separate action after the testimony. So I'll let them get that amendment handed out here a second before we get to the proponent testimony. So let's just get a second. Mr. Secretary, I think what I'll have you guys do is start with the bill and then what the amendment's doing.
Okay. My name is Steve Barnett, Secretary of State. We rise in proponents of House Bill 1055, which is an act to revise certain provisions regarding the termination of a political committee under certain circumstances. So what this does, it amends lines 22 to 24 by revising the time frame when the Secretary of State may terminate a committee and clarify that the delinquent report and the payment of penalty. So currently, the Secretary of State must wait 30 days after the certified receipt is received by the Secretary of State's office. And history has indicated that there are some committees that do not file their delinquent report or pay the penalty. So our office does turn these over to the state collection agency. And what this legislation will allow is the Secretary of State to terminate a committee within 35 days of the notice of order being sent out.
Okay, and further proponent testimony?
Yeah, we have three committees currently that haven't filed a report or paid a penalty. And so we had language passed, I think, in 2016 or 2018 that allows us to terminate a ballot question committee if they don't have any activity through the end of that year election cycle. And so we kind of wanted to be able to clean these up as well. And we have to send a certified mail. When we send the notice of order, it has to go by certified mail. And then we have 30 days for them to sign that receipt on the certified mail at the post office. We're seeing that some people aren't signing that, and so we'd never get that back. And so we don't have any other date to calculate when we can terminate them. And so we'd like to have the date start, the date we mail the order out, and it would be 35 days after that.
Any other proponent testimony? Do I have any other proponent testimony in House Bill 1055? Seeing none, we'll move on to opponent testimony. Do we have any opponent testimony? Any opponent testimony on House Bill 1055? Seeing none, I'll waive the rebuttal and move into committee questions. Do we have any questions from the committee? Representative Moyle.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you give me some examples, other than just a ballot question committee, of what is meant by political committee?
Mr. Chair? Yes, a political committee is defined as including candidate committees, political party committees, political action committees, and ballot question committees. And that also includes local, county, auxiliary parties as well.
Okay, follow-up, please, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If these committees have a penalty and you terminate them, do you go after them for the penalty that was charged to them? And how would that affect the individuals that are part of that committee or were part of that committee?
Mr. Chair, yes, we send them to the state collection agency, and that's it. Then they take that over from there. And all the fees that we have for the hearings and the penalties all go back into the general funds.
Any further questions? Representative Schwach.
I want to focus in on the 35-day requirement there, and particularly from the date of the order. What's the rationale of changing the service of process in that provision?
Because we want to change it to the date that the notice is mailed out, we're giving them like a 5-day like mailing window on the end of that to get their delinquent report in or pay the penalty.
Okay. Schwach, I see a follow-up coming.
Yes, thanks. Well, I guess in service of process in a complaint and a summons and even a court order, it's generally 30 days, and it's 30 days from the receipt of when you receive that. So, for example, a complaint, you can serve through a sheriff or you can serve by certified mail, which is what this statute requires you to do. And with certified mail, you know, typically the answer to a complaint is filed, you know, from the date you receive it, and then you get those 30 days. I mean, why shouldn't these political action committees be afforded, I guess, the same, 30 days from receipt that is recognized throughout the rest of our entire codified law?
Mr. Chair, because we're seeing that they're not signing and returning that certified receipt to us, the treasurer, these are mailed to the notice of order is mailed to the treasurer of that committee. And we are seeing where some of them aren't signing them, and so we don't have a date. We don't get that back until that person signs for that. And so we can't terminate them. They're just lingering out there, and they're not following the law of getting a delinquent report in or paying the penalty.
Further questions? Representative Mulally.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Clarify to me that when a letter is mailed certified, and if the recipient does not sign for that certified letter, is that not a return to the sender after 30 days of being in the possession of the Postal Service, so that you would have notification at that time that they did not receive it, and that is your notification for your 30 days from date of receipt?
I believe we get them back, but when they don't, that doesn't mean that that person knows that that notice's order was in there. So we thought that we had to wait till we had something from the treasurer before we could terminate them. And I can just double check on that process, and I can email the if there's a clarification on that.
I do.
Representative York,
is that by Madam Chair or
I forgot your name. Anyway, does that mean that they are refusing to send it back by design, or is it just an overlooking? Is what? How do we follow up with other things, other people that don't return what they're supposed to return? If somebody doesn't send in a form, you get a notice that you're going to be fined if you don't send in that form, correct? Couldn't we handle this the same way without changing the law?
We do have people that don't sign for it, the certified mail. We've had a post office where it actually says that he signed it, and then he realized it from our office, crossed his name off, and walked away and left it at the post office. So I don't know if there's a better way to try and get the committee terminated, but we just would like to clean the committees up that aren't following the laws.
Representative Freimuller, and then
anyway. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do you collect the phone numbers and emails of the treasurers as well so that you can contact them that way?
Mr. Chair, we send, we do have email and phone numbers, and we do contact the treasurers by email, letting them know that they are delinquent. We want to try and get the report in before we have to send the notice of order, because it's a long process to do that. And so if they're not checking their emails or not responding back, then we end up sending out the notice of order.
Follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not one that checks email other than when I'm on my legislative account. Otherwise, we can get $17,000 at home, and I don't care. But is there any reason you could not contact by phone the treasurer as well?
Mr. Chair, we have done that in the past.
Representative Hammack, did you have a question?
Yes, sir. How prevalent is this problem? Is it predominantly during election years, or is it an ongoing, continuous, time-consuming aspect of what you deal with?
It is a time-consuming process. Once we send the notice of order out, we usually get, most of them will just submit the payment, the penalty fee, and get the report in. Then we have others that it takes months to try and get them to get the report in. And yeah, it doesn't matter if it's an election cycle or a non-election cycle when these reports are due.
Further questions? Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question is, when the collection is not made by your office, is this one that gets turned over to the Obligation Recovery Center?
Mr. Chair, yes, that's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions? Seeing no further question, I'm going to close the public testimony portion of this and move into committee action. We do have an amendment to House Bill 1055. Would somebody be willing to offer that up? Representative Reed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move Amendment 1055A.
Second from second. Representative Freimuller.
No
I seen her wave her hand down there first. My bad. All right. So we have first by Representative Reed, second for Representative Freimuller to move Amendment 1055A. Do we have discussion on that motion? Seeing no discussion on that motion, I'll have the Secretary call the roll. So I guess that's a voice vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. So 1055 is amended. So do we have any discussion on House Bill 1055 as amended? If not, I will take committee action. Representative Freimuller.
I move we do pass House Bill 1055.
All right, I have a first from Representative Freimuller, a second from Representative Mulally, with the due pass motion on House Bill 1055 as amendment. Any discussions on that motion? Any discussions on that motion from Representative Schwach?
Well, I guess I'm going to encourage the committee to resist the motion. I want to help the Secretary of State's office work through this matter, but I think the actual issue, if you look at the amendment, is on lines 10 through 11, where the Secretary of State's office must serve the order by certified mail. They're limited to that. You have lots of ways you can serve process. You can, individual over the age of 18, any individual over the age of 18 can physically serve process of the order. And that's commonly used sheriffs or police officers to do that. My concern with this proposed amendment is that our bill is that in the first paragraph, you have an appeal right. And that appeal right entitles you to appeal the decision of the Secretary of State within 30 days. Now, very clearly in that first paragraph, it states that you have 30 days from your receipt of the letter. So you can only appeal if you have knowledge that the order has been issued against you. But by making this change, what we're saying is whether you had notice of it or not, and whether you're intentionally or unintentionally avoiding that notice, your committee could be terminated. I think the more appropriate way to address this issue would be to change lines 10 and 11 to allow for service of process by other means, which of course would incur costs to the Secretary of State. You have to pay the sheriff. And so you would have to look at changing language in another statute to make sure that those costs of service could be taxed against the person for their, I guess, failure to file the report. That would be more consistent with what the rest of the statute is doing, whereas this change we're making here, I mean, we're going to allow a political action committee to be terminated, even though they haven't waived their appeal right, because they haven't necessarily gotten notice of it. So I think the issue is the service of process. I sympathize that that's frustrated, but I think the appropriate thing to do would be for service of process to allow for more options than by certified mail and make sure that those costs that occur are taxed. So I'll yield, Mr. Chair.
Any further discussion on that? Representative Reed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. While some very good points were made from the good representative from Yankton, I believe that the changes that are asked here will improve the process. Not saying that those other changes shouldn't be made, but if you make these changes, it still improves the process. It really doesn't change because it's just clarifying a few things of how the process works today. And so making the changes that were suggested would be a good thing to do, but I think it's a different subject matter. So I believe that we should pass this now. I'm not saying that there shouldn't be changes made at a later date to the statute.
Any further discussion? I'm going to weigh in a second here. I agree with the good representative who spoke in front of me. I do believe that this is a good change, and not saying that Representative Schwach's concerns don't have merit to him, and I think he can work with the Secretary of State's office to work through that and see if they have the same concerns as you do. But obviously there is an issue here, and the only people we're talking about that would have an issue with this is those that are not following the law today to begin with. You know, they're the ones who are ignoring the mail from the Secretary of State's office. They're not signing it because they know what they're doing. So if that means that they're waiving their right to the appeal, I think they probably understand that they're doing that up front. So I understand the concerns, but these people know what they're doing. They know what they're doing is wrong, and I think this is a good change. Any further discussion? Representative Freimuller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is a time I agree with you. But is there any way, if we go ahead and pass this today, that you guys could work on an amendment so that we could take that and put it on the floor? Because I do agree with the good representative down there from Yankton that there are other ways to serve these people. I have to hire people to serve you know, and do things, but then that's traceable as well. So if you could amend that instead of just by certified mail or any other legal means of service to provide the proof, just put in an amendment. If we'd pass it here now, but then we address the other issues, that there are other ways for you to notify these treasurers, that would be, then that's something we could have on the floor and approve it then, and then hopefully get it over to the Senate. Thank you.
Yep. So I'll leave that to Representative Schwach.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I recognize, I'm sorry. I would suggest maybe making a substitute motion to table this to our next hearing so that we can maybe discuss that if the Secretary of State's office is willing to work through that. I'd rather, if we think there are improvements that need to be made, I'd rather do it in the committee instead of with all those other yokels on the floor.
Nice.
Well, the approach tabling motion would not be appropriate. That would be, that's killing the bill with that. But that would be up to the chair's discretion whether he wants to defer the bill till the next hearing to see if anything be worked out with it. As I stated, I don't think there's a problem with the bill or with what they're doing. I think what we're trying to do is maybe clarify some additional language within the bill that's kind of out of the scope of this. So I would resist deferring this bill. I would prefer to take action on it, and then if somebody wants to offer amendment on the floor for it, then that would be good discussion on the floor as to what you're looking to do. Probably better discussion on the floor than it is in this committee, even though understanding your concerns. So that's the chair's preference, is to move forward. Representative Reed?
I agree with the chair that it would be good to change this. I do wonder, instead of an amendment on the floor, if it wouldn't be good to actually bring back another bill, because this section could be changed with another bill also, and that way it could get a full committee hearing here in the House too. So that's another option that could happen to solve the issue.
Representative York?
I'm going to go ahead and agree with my good friend from Yankton. I think he makes some good points. And what I'm hearing is, let's pass this and then do this and then talk to this one. Why not get everything together before we pass a bill of any kind? So I'm going to resist the motion, or resist the urge to pass this bill. I would have liked to seen it postponed, just like my friend said. But the way it is now, I'm going to vote against it.
Representative Mullally?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I liked Representative Swack's idea of, but as a secretary of a auxiliary political committee, I continually get emails and notices from the Secretary of State's office telling me that my reports are due. So I am not being notified only by certified mail. I am being notified months in advance that my report is due. And if I ignore that, I am being notified. But there is a possibility that needing other forms of notification after the fact that they have not fulfilled their legal duty to file that report might be a way to go. I'm considering resisting it on that point alone. Thank you.
Any further discussion on the motion at hand? Seeing none, I'm going to restate the motion. We have a first by Representative Freimuller, a second by Representative Mullally, with the due pass for House Bill 1055 as amended. I will have the Secretary call the vote.
Representative Barthel?
Aye.
Chafee?
Aye.
Schwach?
No.
Freimuller?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Hammack?
Aye.
Mullally?
Aye.
Aye. Overwig?
Aye.
Reed?
Aye.
Reimer?
Aye.
Sullivan?
Nay.
York?
No.
Otten?
Aye.
We have 4 nays and 9 yays.
4 nays or 3? Who are the nays? I just had that different. I had Schwach, Sullivan, and New York as a nay. Mullally, did you vote aye?
I did.
Excuse me, I have Sullivan, York, Otten. I have you in the wrong column. Pardon me.
That's perfectly fine. So, House Bill 1055, as amended, will go to the House floor with a due pass motion by a vote of 11-3. Now, with that said, with that, if the good representative would like to work with the Secretary of State's office and offer a motion on the House floor with that, that's your prerogative with that. And if you do so, I think that'll just make for some good discussion on the floor. All right, do we have any other thing for the committee or for the good of the committee? If not, Representative Sheafy.
Make a motion to adjourn.
You most certainly may.
Second.
I have a motion to adjourn, first from Representative Chafee, second for Representative Hammack. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. We are adjourned.